don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. And this week, our theme song is Oh Too Real.
Oh Too Real. Everything's all weak.
I'm still hungover.
Why do you guys not have alcohol in this?
Well, there's some alcohol in this building. It is a radio station. If you go into enough offices, there's going to be liquor under someone's desk.
Send Allie to go raid his office.
We need to share what liquor we like.
Okay, let's do that right now. Go around.
Whiskey.
Is that your sad drinking drink, or is that where what you would get on any occasion?
That would be my sad drinking drink.
I was actually thinking about ordering a T-shirt that says "Soup of the Day."
That I will pay for that shirt if you get it. Please.
Okay, Allie.
Tequila.
That's my throw up drink.
Well, that is. That's my go-to. Okay.
That's everyone's throw-up drink.
My throw-up drink is Fireball, if you guys are wondering. Okay. But I wouldn't say that's a drink.
Which is a whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah, no, whiskey's not, we don't do well together, but tequila, I like. I like it in drinks, I like it in shots. I like it. What's like the green eggs in it? I'm like, I like tequila, I guess I do. I like tequila in my soup. I like tequila.
She's admitting her alcoholism on Shades of Blue tonight. No, tequila is my sad drink as well. I know something bad happens every time I drink it for fun. So yes, it's my sad drink.
The funniest part about that is something bad happens. He doesn't remember what, but it's something.
Even that it's like, he's not drinking it because he's sad. He's drinking because he's happy, but then becomes sad.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a complete opposite effect it has on
me. It's not that it makes me sad. Bad things isn't I get too happy. How about that? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, well, we have another. Wait, Thad, did you answer?
Thad doesn't drink.
He said whiskey.
Oh, you did?
He said he wants to order a shirt that says, but
oh, yeah.
Soup of the day is whiskey. So I would assume.
When I drank, because I don't. I do not drink anymore. I gave it up a while back.
I was unaware of this.
But when I drank lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of beer. And lots and lots and lots and lots of whiskey.
Okay.
At the same time?
At once?
Quite often.
Okay.
And when I drank tequila, yes, something bad happened. The last time I drank tequila, I woke up on the stairs of the barracks. With less clothes on than I had when I started.
And then did you have to clean the barracks with a toothbrush after this?
There was cleaning to be done, yes.
I did not know that was a real thing.
Nice picture.
My dad legitimately got in trouble in the army and had to clean the floor of a building with a toothbrush. With the guy he got in a fight with. That was the punishment.
Fortunately, the person who was on duty that day in the barracks was a good friend of mine, so he actually cleaned it up for me, and he's been a lifelong friend ever since. He now lives in Kansas City.
Oh,
so
good friend to keep around.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
just in case, you know.
In case I have to hide another body.
It's like,
she was
kidding?
That ugly, huh? Oh. Wow.
This is indeed...
God. Enough.
This
is horrible.
This is indeed a vaguely sporting Kansas City show. So I have another round table beyond what our favorite alcohol is to drown our sorrows from our favorite team. Okay, the obvious question that at least I have to keep defending, or I keep seeing among Sporting Kansas City faithful, is, are you worried? So let's start with our very own Thad Bell.
Because why not?
Are you worried?
Not totally. Only a little.
Okay. Be more definitive than that, because that sounds like everyone, I think.
Well, hey, I'm everyone, right? No, I know a lot of people are seriously worried. They're like, oh my God, dumpster fire, etc. But seriously, this team is still scoring an average of 2 goals a game, close to it. The last game in Houston was terrible, but it also was missing 2 starting center backs and an assortment of other players. The best player on the team just came back from injury. You know, we got to see if he's in form and stuff like that. But still, there's lots of reasons to be at least positive that things are going to turn around. This team is good enough that it should not have extended long bad periods. And if it does, then that's the next couple games is really when you need to start worrying. If it continues past the next couple games, then worry. But otherwise, be happy.
Robert Russert, are you worried?
Well, as I look at the standings here, I have to say yes, because we are Vancouver, who is in, 9th place, is only 7 points away from us. And it is just so tight in this Western Conference that if we continue, as that says, you know, a few more games, we could find ourselves even out of the playoffs, which for Kansas City is, you know, unheard of. I know there's a long way to go, but here's what I'm really worried about. Early on in the season, that chemistry was just there, you know, with Felipe, you know, and it just happened even without little preseason together. Is that going to come back? Are we now at a point where, okay, everybody is pressing too much and worried about things too much? Is that chemistry going to come back? Is it going to be try to be forced too much now because of the tension and the pressure that we're in? So I'm a little bit worried about that facet of it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree, Bob. I'm worried because there has been a huge disconnect with the chemistry, and that's something that takes a lot, in my opinion, longer to get back. And I don't know. I know there was all this excitement.
Something
it was like
just
right
horribly
on cue. That was right
terrible
on
happened.
Cue. I'm screaming into the mic. I'm literally going to blow someone's eardrum. But I know earlier in the season, we were all excited. The young guys are getting minutes. Not only are they getting minutes, they're playing well. And then goals are being scored. Felipe's gone, but still nothing to really worry about. And then all these injuries hit. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got different personalities, different levels of experience and talent out on the field. And all of a sudden, the downfall happens. And, you know, after Peter said that there were a couple players in particular after that Houston game that he was really unhappy with, that makes me wonder, like, is everyone on the same page here? What's going on? And if people aren't on the same page, that's going to create a lot of tension in the locker room. Matt Beisler kind of struggling with some injury. Who's that true leader? And I know this was a discussion we had earlier with this podcast. Is Roger doing enough to really get this team all on the same mental track? Is Matt Beisler the guy? Who's going to be the one to kind of get these guys as a team back on track going forward?
Okay. Well, I'm not worried in that, like I've said all along, this team, I know that this team is way better than the team that was out there last year. And they're in a way better spot to do better down the stretch. So I'm not worried in that regard. I don't know. You know, MLS is weird. We could have a better team this year and not finish as good. Like, MLS is crazy like that. So I'm not worried in that way. But I am, you kind of touched on it there, and we should definitely talk about it. It was a while ago, but I was worried that Peter is just overtly saying that there are players on his field that he thinks quit. And that's like something we've never heard from him. And you wouldn't even think someone could get out on the field if they were even capable of doing that in a tough game or something. So that's why I'm like, that's why it like kind of worries me a little bit, that I'm hoping at least, you know, we should discuss who the players were. And if it was 2 players that are not regular, then yeah, there's something that we can,
obvious.
Yeah, like I think we've kind of suspected that it was the 2 center backs that he was referring to. I think we talked about that a little bit in a Slack group. And if that's the case, then like, there's not that much to worry about. Get them off the field, and once our better players get back in there, then things can get back on track. But it was a little worrying to see Peter Vermees like falling into this and having to call out players, because that's not something we're used to.
Well, in our discussion, Thad asked Peter this yesterday about injuries and everything, and Peter made that point that the injuries and the players coming back are just so much better, to use lack of a better word, better players, that Vermees was excited about that fact that these players are coming back and we can get back to where we need to be. So even Peter made that point that, you know, these people come back are really going to help.
But does that cause any concern then, you know, having seen a lot of these younger guys or these, you know, Graham Smith drafted just in this last draft, is it a cause for concern that in the event of a lot of injuries, to have these guys come in and supplement that that typical starting lineup, that they weren't able to get the job done, and not only that, but be a pretty crucial part in this drop-off we've seen, does that cause any concern with you guys for the future, for next year's team, or for playoff season, or if any, God forbid, any more injuries arise, which hopefully, knock on wood, we have seen the end of that, because that was like boom, 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 they were dropping like flies.
Well, it's not much of a worry for next year, because if that's what Peter thinks that they are, they won't be here next year. Matter of fact, they may not be here after this transfer window, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not actually be shocked if that happened. I'm not predicting it, just saying I would not be mm-hmm. shocked. And again, we're not totally sure that was the two guys, and
right.
that's also something that they can fight back and show that they do have that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they did have a bad day, maybe they got down, maybe they did give up, I don't know. Peter also alluded to it made him physically ill that he was watching that. But yeah, that's a worry, and that's one of the worries this whole time. We've talked about depth and stuff like that. There was a lot of depth. The problem this year was there was like three key guys that the depth relied upon that all got hurt at the same time. Felipe could play three spots in the middle. Jimmy could play mm-hmm. multiple spots.
Lobato
could play multiple spots, and they're all hurt at the same time. And all of a sudden, you don't have much rotation. You don't have much depth. And then you knock out both of the starting center backs. Not one, both.
Right.
And then you have tired guys in front of them. It's a chain reaction thing. Next couple games, do they pull it out?
I mean, I know we'll talk about this at the end of the show, but I predict a win on Saturday. I hope that there's a fire coming out on the field at Children's Mercy Park this Saturday, because we fans deserve it. The team deserves it.
Are you predicting they're going to burn Dallas?
Peter deserves it.
Are they going to burn Dallas?
They are going to burn Dallas.
Boo.
At least we hope.
Dallas burn reference. Boo.
Cody, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to document this podcast on our Instagram.
Multitasking.
I know. I'm not. I have too many jobs here. Host, producer, social media expert. Like, come on. Okay, so I do have another question. Roundtable question.
Go for it.
Let's have it.
Will Sporting Kansas City sign a striker in this window?
Well,
now again, we don't know. We don't have the answer to the question.
Accurate.
But we're going to talk about it.
Partial.
Accurate partial information.
Thad, do we want to talk about what you just pulled up or not?
Well, there's a rumor.
Okay.
There's a rumor breaking while we're on the air.
Actually, I don't think it's actually a new rumor. I saw this a couple days ago, but
okay. Well, I didn't, and
me neither.
I like it.
I did not either. So, Dad.
There's a rumor going that Adi.
Fernando.
However you say his name. That's why I just went with Adi.
His first name is great. I love the lack of the R in that name. Fernando.
Not Fernando.
Fernando.
In a story, I actually put Fernando afterwards. I was like, oops.
Yes, yeah, so
my bad.
So
that he's up for trade.
Okay.
And that Sporting is one of the teams that's interested in him.
And why wouldn't they be? Is probably like all that story is. They would have to, like, Vermees's line always is we're exploring all options. So it could just be a case of that, but
it would be a rarity, because Sporting is rarely involved in trades within the league like that for a player. I mean, Dom, sure, that was for money, but player for player. That's something we rarely actually do.
Maybe it's not player for player.
Maybe
it's
not.
Player for money. Maybe it's player for 17 draft picks.
Yeah,
because we don't really care about the draft anymore. The big question is he worth the salary that he's making? Because he's a DP at $2 million, roughly. I think I looked at this when I first saw it. It was something like 1.3 base and 1.975 mil for guaranteed compensation.
But we'd be only on the hook for half of that, approximately, right?
For this season.
Right.
And you don't know if they would eat some of it.
Right.
If they're just trying to get him off the payroll for this year, and I don't know what his contract runs through. So there's this, and this, all these options. And then the question is he the player that would fit into this system? Can he hold up the ball? Can he do all the pressuring? Can he be Shelton, Rubio, and Felipe all rolled into one?
I don't know that player.
Yeah. I think he has a reputation of being a bit lazy defensively. He can hold the ball up, he can score, but I think he does have that reputation of not being a hard worker up top.
And that's going to go over well in a Peter Vermes system. We've just heard this, that player is giving up.
Right.
You know, doesn't work well.
No.
Well, Peter's not going to pull the trigger, obviously, if it doesn't work. Yeah. It's just a rumor, but, you know, compelling anyway.
Well, we say you won't pull the trigger if it doesn't work. I mean, he has brought in players that doesn't work. But
well, no, I mean if it doesn't fit is what I meant to say.
But aside from this rumor, what do you guys think is the likelihood of Sporting getting that striker, this elusive striker that everyone wants and desires so badly? Do you think Peter feels like he has the tools in the toolbox to kind of make it happen with what they have right now?
What do we have, 2 weeks until the window closes, essentially?
Approximately.
Whatever it is. If it hasn't gotten done yet and other teams have been so active, does worry me.
I don't think a expensive foreign DP striker is coming.
Like because it would be done by now if it were. Because
I mean,
don't you
I
want to incorporate this
argument
person as soon as you can?
Yeah.
But that's not the – I don't think that's the issue as much as – because obviously you always want to get it done and you're always looking. Just even looking at like Felipe Gutierrez, he was not – at one point, he was not coming to this team. It was late in the whole window – not the real window. It was late in the preseason that he showed up. And it was because all of a sudden his team decided they didn't want him anymore. Stupid team, but. And I can't remember why, financial reasons or.
Yeah, we all know the nature of how these things work, but. Yeah, it's just worrisome.
I think they'll sign a striker, but I don't think it'll be the, quote, promised DP season-changing striker that everyone's like hoping for, dreaming of.
Well, did they promise a season-changing striker?
They did, and it really drives me. I hate being one of those people that's like referencing it because there's a lot of entitled fans that keep saying that. But they did at the end of, I think it was two seasons ago now. Was it that long ago?
No, it was last season.
It was the last season, but. There's a promise that they were going to get a DP striker.
From who?
From who? Oh, who
Rob
said
Heinemann?
It?
Yeah.
Rob.
Too bad he's not actually associated with the team anymore.
But, hey, I understand that, and that's one reason I'm saying I don't like having to repeat that, as in a lot of the people that are saying that are, like, whiny people who are watching a really good team that it's the envy of many other teams in this league, and because they're not winning two trophies a year, they like to complain about that. But if it was said and alluded to beyond Rob Heinemann that they're constantly looking for this striker.
And it was said beyond Rob Heinemann. I was just basically giving you crap. Peter did say that they were looking for all these positions. Literally one time I said, well, what positions are you looking for? He goes, all the ones we've been talking about.
Left back, midfield, striker.
Which left back was the only time I've really seen that mentioned was Sam, which of course somebody leaked it to him. But obviously they're looking for a striker. But in the offseason they did sign a number 10, Johan. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's good or not, whether you think he's worth DP money, which is bogus anyway. That doesn't matter. They signed a 10. They did sign a striker. They traded for him. And they got Kyrie Shelton, who showed a lot of promise in preseason. Maybe at that point they said, you know, instead of spending huge money on a striker that we don't have personal knowledge of, we got this guy and we're going to take a look at him and go for the summer window, which doesn't make bad sense. Question still is, like, TAM money was only, like, every bit of TAM money is scheduled for, like, a certain time span. It has to be used in certain time spans.
Right.
So that would be kind of one worry that would roll off and not be used.
Well, isn't actually, so we often talk about how Peter Vermes is never going to say, like, reach a point and say, screw it, I'm just going to, like, spend this money. But, like you were just talking about, this stuff expires. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that Vermes said that himself when they signed Diego Rubio to that season-long loan, that he, like, fully acknowledged that they had TAM that was running out, and if they didn't spend it on something, then it was going to disappear.
I don't remember him saying that, but maybe he did. I don't.
I do vividly. If you need me to, I'll try to find it, but I don't want to.
All right, well, the optimist side is of course, this. We get players back from injuries. We get our defense, who's allowed two or more goals in the last five games in a row, figured out again for the second time this season. And, you know, Shelton comes back in what? Is he due back in October?
I believe so,
yeah.
2 to 3 months.
And then everything's going to be okay. To me, that is the Sporting Kansas City way of operating and the way it might go again. It's been successful to a degree. If you call fifth place in the division and an away playoff game like last year successful, okay. But let's look at the standings right now, and let's look at the teams that have a striker up front that scores goals consistently. Atlanta, top of the East. They've got multiple guys who score consistently, Martinez being the guy.
And the greatest goal scorer in MLS history.
That's what they say. NYCFC. Okay, David Villa has been out recently, but they still have one who can do that. Red Bulls.
Spending money that this team never will.
Right. Red Bulls, Bradley Wright Phillips. They got him. Columbus, Jazzy Zardes, they all have guys who can score up front, center forwards. Okay, let's go to the Western Conference. Dallas, they signed a new guy. I don't remember his name. LAFC.
He's a midfielder, though.
Okay, midfielder.
But they did just let
Costa go, yeah.
Well, and the
Diaz.
Earlier.
Diaz.
Yeah, yeah. Mauro Diaz, right? He was their big guy, and they let him go.
LAFC, Carlos Villa. Okay, they are teams that are all at the top of the division. LA Galaxy. Who do they have now? And they're rising up the standings as we talk. Zoltan.
Oh my God.
Zlatan.
Put a dollar
Zlatan
in the jar. Sorry. That's a dollar.
Sorry.
That's two.
So,
fine jar.
These are the teams that make that purchase, that make that, spend that money, and they get the rewards of it. MLS Cup, they get a home playoff game, and we don't.
I don't know that LA is rising because of Zlatan. They might be rising despite Zlatan.
Well, they've figured it out how to work him in, that's for sure.
And it may just be that they finally recovered from being coached by Anolfo.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there for sure. But
okay, Bob, you have some is or isn'ts, I've been led to believe.
Right, and we touched on one earlier.
That's what I was going to say. You would never like to tell them to us, but then yeah. I feel like we were already going to talk about it, and now it's going to be weird when you ask it. Cause we're
no,
just gonna
I don't think so. We didn't really talk about it in depth. Ali kind of alluded to it. Is it effective? I'm going to use that word. Okay, and I'm going to word this very...
Well, you better word it carefully. You always mess up this. You always mess up the intro, and it never turns out to be an is or isn't.
Okay. It's like, is it effective for a coach to criticize players publicly, or isn't it?
I'm going to say it is.
I will always say no to that, except, like, Peter Vermes is the one guy that would...
I didn't say Peter Vermes.
Okay, that's fair. I would say no, but I think Peter Vermes is a guy that I would be on the same page as. Like, he would always say that unless he saw something extreme, which I think that he did in that game.
But But I think it's also the manner in which he does it. He didn't. I mean, the fact that we still are questioning the player he's even talking about.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that was more of his way of saying, "I know that you as the fans aren't happy. I'm not happy either. Here's what I saw, and here's why." That's what I sensed of that, and I think for him to say that, because he doesn't ever really lead on that he's mad at a specific player or specific players, shows that this has been building for a while.
And it's going to be pretty clear who the people are soon, though, isn't it?
Well, and I think, I know this isn't your question, but that was, in that instance, I think it probably was constructive. Because, like, Matt Beisler is going to hear that and tell everyone in the locker room, yo, Peter Vermees does not do this. He's not a guy that would ever say something like that.
Right.
If you messed up, like, you messed up and we need to change something.
Yeah.
But I don't know necessarily if we'll know for sure, unless it was like a Diego Rubio who he was talking about, or Johnny Russell, or a guy who, if they stopped playing all of a sudden, it would be glaringly obvious.
Right,
but if it was a Graham Smith, we would have no idea.
Right.
So for that reason, maybe that's another reason.
Still, we can figure it out. But
not necessarily. Like she said, we may not know.
So maybe he was just... Well done by Peter.
Yeah. Maybe.
Kudos.
And maybe it was actually not even specific. Maybe he's kind of BSing us. Maybe it wasn't somebody specific. Maybe it's a little more generic, and he's calling out everybody or a number of people, and they all go, oh, he was talking about me.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Could be.
Yeah, that's – Vermees does do that. He knows very well every single thing that he says in front of a camera and in the media and what it will mean – after he says it and how it'll be taken. And so, yes, that's a definite possibility that he was.
Okay, so you're saying that Peter Vermees is one human being who's always under control and always thinks about what he says before he says it?
Well, I didn't say that, but I think that
that's what it sounded.
I think he is fully aware of consequences whenever he says something in front of a camera or in front of a mic.
He's very well media coached. He controls, in my opinion, I think.
And in,
he controls the narrative for sure.
And in a tirade.
Gives you what he's going to give you.
And yeah, he can go into a tirade, but I think he's made the choice.
To go into a tirade.
I know the impact that this will have, but I need to say what I want to say right now.
Right.
I have went off on my daughter for having misbehaved when I wasn't mad, but she thought I was livid because of something she'd done. She walked away. Oh, dad's really mad at me. I got to go fix. And I was like, and she walks away and I'm like, okay, mom, let's go get a drink.
Okay. Oh. So what that is saying though, is that Peter Vermees uses a bad bell parenting technique.
But here's the thing, on all of us.
But here's the thing that pissed me off about that, Thad. Every time I would do that to my daughter, she'd play the best game ever the next game, and then it'd go back to the way she normally is.
Yeah, then you got to be a dick to her again.
Yeah.
I wasn't using it for sports.
Just typical household chores.
No, for ethical life decisions.
Okay.
My dad ever used the phrase ethical life decision with me when I was like, I don't know, 12. I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Only for things that are really important.
I do have another if you want, but I don't know if we have time, Mr. Cody Bradley.
Let's just do it.
All right, well, this is more of a tactical thing, and this is me watching the Open Cup game. All right, so we all love him. He's going to the All-Star game. He's great. He got his All-Star jersey today. They put it out on Twitter. But is Ilya aggressive enough on defense, or isn't he? I see him often shepherding when he maybe should be challenging more so. Discuss.
I agree with you. I don't think he is at all, so isn't. Mm. And there are times recently where he's been like the last guy standing running back, and I'm like, oh, shit, where's everyone else? One. Two, is this the guy that, like, it's worrisome seeing him being the only guy tracking back. Even to me, more so than like if Johan was the only guy tracking back, which I would also feel worried about, but like less than I do when I just see Ilya as the one guy tracking back and the defenders are scattered about or they got too far off their line or too far up, you know, midfield.
So you're saying he is playing defense?
I'm not saying that. I don't think that was the question.
Your response was a little confusing. Clarify what you meant.
Clarify the question.
I'm
question again
now.
Is Ilya aggressive enough on defense, or isn't he? Meaning, I see him shepherding players, you know, that have the ball, instead of actually tackling and challenging players, especially when they get near the 18.
I think that's what I'm saying, is like, yes, he's getting back there, and sometimes he's the only guy doing that, but he doesn't step ever. Like, mm-hmm. He's just, like you said, he's shepherding. He's not being aggressive. So I kind of went off there, but I do get concerned. Even when he is being, when he is getting back defensively, even when he is doing that, I get concerned at the times where he's, like, one-on-one with the guy mm-hmm. in that situation.
I'm going to argue that this is a result if what you are claiming has been happening,
mm-hmm.
that's a result of him not having his two boys behind him, not having his regular back line behind him.
Very well could be.
And even in front of him now, I guess, too. Like he said, you know, different mixture in front of him as well. And, you know, maybe like exactly what you were saying, if he's in a situation where he's used to shepherding and then all of a sudden Ike Opara comes flying in.
Yeah.
And then now Graham Smith wasn't doing that the last two, or Emiliano wasn't doing that the last couple games.
Right.
So Ilya is still, for me, I needs to be out there every single second or I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, it's just like that's not where his strength lies. Mm. He's not the one-on-one defending that Ike and Beasler do that's not Ilya's role. So in those instances where he doesn't have them behind him.
But shouldn't he recognize, though, that that's sometimes what he needs to do?
Yeah. If he does need to do it, yes.
Yeah, because my question would be if he needs to do it, because I somehow have faith that Ilya, that learned in Barcelona, might know more about playing D-mid than I do.
But that's my thing. When he's shepherding and then, like Cody just said, has Ike coming in to kind of pick up that next step, he's doing his role still. So he's still doing a good job defensively.
His role isn't to be the one-on-one slide tackling kind of guy. His role is to guide the others into being in the right spot.
Cut off the passing lane before a pass even
starts.
And
I totally agree with what you guys are saying, but there are moments when I feel he needs to be more aggressive and needs to be more of a challenging type instead of a shepherding type.
Could you bring up the video?
Well, those situations that you're talking about,
I don't have the capabilities that Cody's got over there.
The situations, I can think of like two, and those were with a rogue defense that we haven't really seen. So I think when he has the right back four behind him, that's, you know, that's keeping a lot of breakdowns from happening. And that I think a lot of goals that have happened are a result of not having that seamless connection and chemistry that Ilya and Beasler and Opara and the typical back four have. I think that's been one of the biggest adjustments.
And also remember at times he's had two teenagers to the left side of him that he's maintaining contact with
and
in order to help them.
Basically the whole game.
So there's lots and lots of issues that are there. And I think, again, they've done well on most of this until just recently. So I will still say he is aggressive enough, and if he doesn't slide tackle somebody, it's because he thinks it's a smarter thing to not do it at that moment.
And those points you just brought up made me love him even more. Like, this guy can really hold his own, even, like you just said, has two teenagers to the left and right of him, playing with this abnormal defense that he's not used to playing with, and he still plays phenomenally.
Yeah, he's playing quarterback.
I'm sorry,
there.
But I got to pick on Thad here because this is one of my huge pet peeves. Okay, folks, let's get this out of our minds. Slide tackling is a last resort, you're out of position when you do it type of technique. Please stop saying slide tackling.
Weren't you the one that was just saying it? Weren't you the one that was just talking about
slide tackling? No. Tackling. As in,
oh, I see.
Going in strong, not sliding down the ground. I'm sorry, that's just a pet peeve of mine.
Not necessarily a last resort.
Kind of.
Yeah, because you're out of position.
I kind of agree with him. It is a little bit when you're as a last resort, or you're trying to make a big statement by slamming somebody to the ground in a slide tackle, which was my favorite part of the slide tackling.
There you go.
But I specifically said slide tackle to make it more obvious of my other direction of argument.
Ilya, if you're listening, we still love you. We could gush about you all podcast.
But he did show that all-star uniform today, which did look pretty cool.
Very excited about that.
Yeah. Good for Ilya. Well deserved.
Did
Happy
you get
for
the
him.
Joke, though?
I didn't.
Does it have sleeves? Did you see the discussion?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, short, though.
It's short sleeves?
Ilya doesn't wear short sleeves.
He has, what, twice?
No, once.
Not
once, right? It was one time, the one game they wore those recyclable jerseys, and they didn't make it in long sleeve.
Yeah.
And he had to wear it. I can't remember another time other than that. They don't make long sleeve all-star, just the all-star team. Come on. Just shout for the extra material there, MLS.
I'm sure if he really asks for it, they'll get it.
It's his trademark. Okay, let's do a Dallas preview. Ish. Okay, FC Dallas, Saturday night, ESPN. We moved up a notch. National television, so it'll actually start at like 8:20-something.
Exactly.
Which means we won't leave the stadium till like 11-something.
Or later.
I'm like already tired thinking about
it. And Ben's in town. Ben wants to do a podcast. Ben, oh man. We're going to have to do it Sunday, I think, man. Anyway.
I'm up for doing it after.
Look forward to that. Ben.
Caffeine.
Ben's in town, and he's going to join the pod. And we're excited about it.
Woo!
Someone, one of the four, well, there are three people I'm looking at, is going to have to miss out on it, but I don't know.
Well, if you do it after the game, I volunteer.
I think there's room here for five.
We already talk enough over each other. We can't have another one.
No, but going back to something that we said earlier.
Do we really talk over each other? No.
Ali mentioned it.
Ba-dum-tsh.
This game is a huge opportunity. I mean, it's against FC Dallas, who's, you know, a big conference rival, who is, what, top of the conference right now. It's a big opportunity. It's a home game. We need to dominate at home. We need to reestablish ourselves.
So no Mauro Diaz, no Kellen Acosta for FC Dallas. Both players have been traded away, sent away. They did just sign a Chilean, a midfielder. I don't know how to say his last name.
It's a tough one.
Pablo Aranguiz. And I'm not putting a dollar in the jar because I acknowledged that I don't know. Bob, you never put a dollar in the jar for Zoltan.
I don't have a dollar right now. I apologize.
Just for the record, Zoltan is the alien ruler in the movie Dude, Where's My Car?
They go,
Zoltan! And they have like a thing. Someone is going to think that's funny somewhere listening to this. Zoltan!
You know who else Zoltan is, right?
Oh, I do! In the movie Big.
Yes.
Boom.
And the third Zoltan reference would be,
I don't know. Both of those things were
so
like
you can
before
see
my
why
time
I,
anyway.
You know, do that.
The former Sporting Kansas City Hungarian forward Zoltan Hercegfalvi.
Hercegfalvi.
Did he say that last name right? Impressive.
He said it confidently. I'm going to give it to him.
Okay.
That I did. I did. I sometimes mess up Tim's last name, but not Hercegfalvi.
Okay, who are we scared of on FC Dallas?
The referee.
Whoa.
I think the entire team, because if we remember June 16th, Open Cup, Sporting comes back in an epic 3-2 victory. Dallas has every reason they want to come in and just absolutely demolish Sporting Kansas City.
We had to cash in our one moment of glory from Crozet in order to get that win. So I am a little worried about this game.
And they've won 8 out of their last 10 MLS contests as well.
Yeah, so Dallas is on a roll. They're coming back with a vengeance, and Sporting is crippled right now.
Only one guy on the injury report.
When we could make up a whole team of injured players, so that.
Well, really, only who's out? Madranda. Lobato.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Madranda.
Earlier this week was three players. Madranda, Shelton.
Evans.
Ding. Very good, Cody. Most people forget he's on the team.
Okay, so Lobato and Opara are no longer on it.
They're no longer on the out level, at least.
Okay.
Which I'm shocked because at one point, Cody, we could see Lobato from the press box, and he looked like he had like two bionic legs. Mm-hmm. He had so many casts and things, not casts, but like braces and
he
things
did.
On his knees. So
he was on his knees?
The braces were on
his
knees.
I swear.
To where his knees couldn't bend, and it was hilarious
watching him try to sit down.
But no, I mean, Dallas has got Lama in the midfield leading with 7 goals. Urruti, 6 goals. Diaz still leads an assist. But
who?
Mauro Diaz, yeah.
Where'd he go anyway?
So, I wanted to say Argentina, but I may be wrong.
Accurate partial information.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, why'd you ask that, Thad? Why'd you have to send us on a tangent here? Now 3/4 of this podcast have their phone out. Okay.
But how many of you, like myself...
He went to the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, okay.
Shabab Al Ahly Club.
I mean, I'm
why?
That's like a... Shabab Ahly. That's all I heard.
There you go.
Bob and Ahly Club.
But how much Ellis destroyed us for the Dynamo. A speedy, athletic winger. How susceptible are we to that? And was that because of Beasler and Opara being out? Was it because Jimmy Madronda is not our left back? He tore us apart. And
yes.
Is Lamar going to do the same thing?
No. It's because of all that you just asked. Yes, it's because of all that.
Okay.
And no, he's not going to tear us apart.
All right.
That's what I'm choosing to go with.
Cody is quite confident, so you can just bank on it.
But that's, right, exactly.
That's if
Cody
we
bank.
Have an actual lineup starting this week. Is Felipe going to start a game?
Earlier this week, I asked if he was close to game starting fit, and Peter was very noncommittal,
oh,
obviously.
He'll start.
So
he'll start.
He mentioned some soreness that Felipe's had.
Yeah, said sometimes he's sore, sometimes he's not.
Allie's like,
rub
some dirt on it. Come on.
No, but like, right? Isn't that what happens when you...
Right, right.
Tell his wife to be gentle.
Good Lord. I'm eager to get back into this, though. I feel good about this game. I've missed games recently. It was like out of town. It was my birthday, and I've missed games. And so I'm feeling good about this. We'll be back there at the stadium.
Cody's back. Sporting's back.
That's right.
The weather's going to be pretty ideal, it seems. That's good.
Okay. Wait, you have something on your face, like you want to say something.
It's not relevant.
Okay, well, I was just going to move on to
something
else that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You seem excited. Go ahead.
You guys know I like to talk about non-soccer stuff. We can talk about all the teams, but it's fun talking about the non-soccer stuff, too. I like the shenanigans. Like the behind the scenes stuff. They're real people, and I like to see that. And also, overseas, we're fans of these soccer teams, of these football teams. You get to know the players. They things leak in the media, and we get to have drama with them, and it's fun. And this freaking league in America, MLS, is so tight-lipped. We never like get anything fun like this until now. We have a beautiful...
I know where you're going with this.
We all know where you're going.
Yes, so Seattle is the worst, but approaching them is Atlanta United. And I'm just using that generally. I don't need to explain it. Seattle's the worst, and Atlanta's catching them. And that is why I'm very happy to hear about some infighting in Atlanta.
And even better, it could affect their play.
Precisely. Teammates are going at it, kind of.
And not just at it with each other.
Yeah,
with each other's significant others as well, which is the interesting part of the story, Cody.
Okay, so if you have not heard of this, 19-year-old Ezekiel Barco, right? Ezekiel?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
I just say Barco.
Yeah, 19-year-old Barco, newly married.
Recently
married. But maybe not for long.
He's only been legal to marry for like the last year and a half anyway.
Well, how old is she? Anyway.
Of course, so, it's Georgia. Maybe that's different.
So young Ezekiel has gotten himself benched, according to the team, for
romantic.
Barco went up the wrong tree.
Hey!
We are all about wordplay on this podcast.
The reason
given... Did you
given...
just come up with that, Ollie, or did you just read that?
No, I just came up with that. I'm a
did
copywriter
really?
Full-time. Wordplay is like... That's my...
She's a marketer, man.
I am.
So,
that was
it
impressive.
Was apparently a
Barco
coach's decision.
Barco went up
decision.
The wrong something.
Coach's decision because Barco had committed a, quote, an act of indiscipline. and the supposed act of indiscipline.
I don't know why that makes it funny.
I just love this. I eat this up so much, man. Okay.
That sounds like he had tequila.
Okay. In a man's world, in the male ecosystem, a teammate is a coveted bond.
I think that goes for any.
You're a sexist.
That's fair.
Jesus, Cody.
And
in the world of team sports,
Ezekiel's teammate, one Brandon Vasquez. Quez? Do I need to add the qua, or does that make it American?
I was just
Zoltan. Just say whatever you want.
Zoltan.
Well, Barco has apparently been getting to know Vasquez's girlfriend very closely.
Is that indiscipline intercourse?
One site said he made overtures. Mm. Another location said...
Which, like, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, DMing her? Or does that mean, like, actually...
Our friends at Dirty South Soccer used alleged romantic overtures towards teammate's girlfriend. Yeah. Now...
other places have said it's more been like introverts.
Yeah. Other outlets have more explicitly stated the activities that occurred. But what's funny about this, besides Barco getting benched, and when he got benched, Vasquez, who didn't get to play very often, came in for him. Got to play for him.
The irony.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Well, actually, he got to come in as a late sub because this actually does benefit the U.S. men's national team, by the way.
The affair?
Yeah. Because with Barco suspended, Andrew Carlton got the start.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Beautiful thing. Infidelity.
But no affair. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I guess.
Indiscipline, infidelity.
Of course, it doesn't always help U.S. soccer.
What N-words can we use?
No.
Just ask John Harkes and Eric Winalda.
So beyond Barco, 19-year-old Barco, getting benched... and having all this get out, his wife, his new bride, has posted a picture on Instagram.
I want to know how old she is.
Without her ring, and is basically just like, yo, I'm over you. This is beautiful.
Girl power. I love it. Good for her.
The translated quote was, it's not what you do, it's what you get over.
Bam.
I think
or under. Last case, maybe.
This is so tasty. I love this stuff so much.
Okay, but I don't know about you guys. The most shocking part of the story to me was that Barco was married at 19 years old. 19. What?
That's why teammate. I want to know how old she is.
Man, your teammate.
Yeah.
Bros.
Pour some tequila out for Atlanta fans because things are about to get interesting. That could really, maybe.
Thad just forgot the saying, bros before hoes.
That's like, I'm cool.
I did not forget it. I was waiting for you to finish
go
it.
There.
Oh, I know there's going to be people that are like, come on, this is a soccer podcast. Let's talk soccer. This is great. I love all of this. We need to talk about more stuff like this.
So
we need
Atlanta's
more scandals.
Burning, huh?
Yes. And what about, do we have any other examples of situations like this throughout Kansas City soccer history?
There was rumors way back in the day.
Back in the day, yes.
Can you share them? What's the statute of limitations on these rumors on the years? Okay. Well,
Bob, you were closer to.
Okay, you guys are I think you've decided against it.
Considering one of the players is still a man about town, I think I'd rather stay away from it myself.
Was he the one who did the deed, or was he the cuckold?
We'll go with the former.
Okay. Tasty.
He's done been the deed doer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, suck it, Atlanta. I like saying this.
The other is a rather prominent person at a competitive team. Competitors team, we'll say.
You guys are lame.
Although he could be a legend.
Let's cross a line and go viral. Let's make a mistake and get this show on the map, right? This is America.
That's your ultimate goal, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I don't like Thad coming at me with all these like rational, I'm a little bit worried, but not really. Come on, say something fiery that we can clip and put on Twitter and people get mad.
Hey, you needed people to be worried. You needed people to be not worried. I was the not worried.
All right.
Cody's exposed.
I'm exposed.
Not in okay. here, please.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I have a question.
Yes.
It's not directly related to sporting, but it is related to Kansas City. What day is today? Wednesday?
Yes.
We had to talk about girl soccer, didn't we? I knew it was coming. It's okay.
Let's do it.
The
better soccer. Let's get into it.
Tomorrow.
I'm here for it.
Uh-oh.
Tournament of Nations, doubleheader, Brazil versus Australia, U.S. versus Japan. If that stadium is not sold out, what does that say about us being a soccer capital city?
Nothing.
I don't think that would say anything.
Why?
I think it says everything. It's a national women's soccer team playing another national.
Four of the top 10 teams in the world.
Japan's number 8, correct? Or 4?
And so, like, is this like a real tournament? Or is it like a friendly tournament? Like, this counts towards their FIFA ranking?
Well, counts towards FIFA ranking, but that doesn't matter.
Okay. I'm just trying to
decide. Is it real as in is it qualifying? No. But is it real as in this is the tune-ups for the U.S. for qualifying? Yes.
Okay.
And is it real in that if Kansas City shows badly for supporting national teams, it may not be as good for us to have a World Cup game in the future?
FIFA ain't going to care who shows up at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow night. They're the ones that make the decision. They're not going to care.
Yeah. Why would they not care?
Why would they?
Fan support?
For?
Because our history up to this point and everything else has been fine. Why would this?
That's not true.
Well.
Okay, for national teams, it's not been as good as what you think it is.
Yeah.
Especially the last men's? Two. Not even for the last men's game here, it wasn't that good.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't remember.
So, I'm not saying this is crazy. I'm just trying to get where you're at here. You think not having a packed stadium for a women's game will
okay,
impact.
Don't water
Hold on.
It down like that.
I'm not watering anything down. I'm not watering anything down. I'm asking.
You said for a women's game.
I'm emphasizing that because it's not a men's game, and we're talking about the men's World Cup.
Exactly.
I wasn't degrading in any way. It's a women's game. How we showed a women's game is going to, you're saying FIFA is going to look at that on how we would show at a men's game.
Okay, it's a more or less meaningless women's game during the middle of the week in summer.
But I think you're looking at it too black and white when it actually needs to be looked at as like this whole gray thing. The U.S. women's national team is the highest possible level. Like,
okay,
there are,
the controversy is not.
Worldly, this is a worldly.
The controversy is not do they deserve it.
Yeah,
of course
having,
they do.
No. I know, but I'm saying, though, that the show out for that, to me, if you're supporting national United States soccer at the national level, whether it is men's or women's, I think that shows for both. So I agree with that. If you don't sell out the stadium, because why wouldn't you? It's summer. Why wouldn't families be coming? I mean, again, maybe they will. Coming in from St. Louis, from other Kansas areas, from other cities and states to come participate in this event.
I understand where you're at, but it's not. I mean, it's FIFA. I'm asking if FIFA is going to care about this. And it just seems to me like.
No, they won't.
Like what Bob just said, it isn't exactly a meaningful game, a meaningful tournament. It's middle of the week, and it's for the women's national team. And the question is not how Kansas City supports the men's and women's national teams. It's how well would the city do on an international tournament, and like the infrastructure in it, and things like that. I don't think how packed Sporting Park is on a Wednesday night for like a somewhat meaningless game and a different. You know, sport, as in men versus women, there's no way in my mind that FIFA would look at that in any way. Or that FIFA even knows this tournament is going on at all. Like, people making that decision wouldn't know that.
If it's not packed tomorrow, that does not mean Kansas City would not get a
Of course it doesn't.
World Cup game. No. But does it play into the reputation of Kansas City? Does it play into when they look at that sort of thing? Yeah, it will play into it. I'm not saying it's like, oh, there was 100% done deal.
Every seat in the stadium is filled.
All right. Quite honestly, I still think Kansas City has a reasonably good chance no matter what, but just because of location and all these other factors. But I do think it does hurt Kansas City's chance. I do think that it diminishes our claim to be a soccer city when it's not supported like what it should be. Because you even earlier said, you know, nobody is disputing that they deserve it. Bob said that. But they do deserve it. They do deserve to have good support. Yeah. And the last time the women played here, and it was like 4,000 people showed up, and that was terrible.
Yeah, like if the team still had the thing hanging outside the building that was said Soccer Capital of America, and that was their brand that they were building around, then yes, an empty stadium would definitely be not a good look. And it won't be a good look, period, if it's empty. But, yeah, I don't think it'll hurt our World Cup chances.
All right, that was my question. We've answered it, whether or not it's true or not. Either way.
You don't want to talk about the game?
Discussed.
How excited are you for the game?
I'm actually very much looking forward to it. Japan's a really good team. Very technical. It's a big rivalry with the U.S. Japan won the World Cup in 2011, forced the U.S. to, like, go.
I literally cried. Not kidding.
Well, I remember it.
Forced the U.S. to realize that they can't just play on athleticism anymore. And it took them a few years to actually sink in a little bit, but they're trying to experiment or bring in more technical players. They still have the old kick-it-and-run players like Alex Morgan.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I agree. I think that was the most – and I know you guys talked about it on 610 tonight a little bit, but I think that was the most impactful thing. Because I remember growing up, you know, being a smaller player myself, I looked up to players like Christine Lilly, Mia Hamm, who played with such grit, talent, athleticism, and not just athleticism and like, oh, they're big physical and can push you down and just like run like a horse forward, but actually played with foot skills and played technically and made great runs and were crafty, creative. And then all of a sudden, women's soccer kind of lost that. And I think that I agree. I think they're getting it back. So it'll be good. I'm excited.
I know the number one reason Thad is excited, though, is that he has a new toy to bring with him to
get
try
ready,
out.
Blue Testament
Boys
fans.
Toys, yes.
You will be seeing some very high quality images coming up.
I'm not promising that, but
in the near future, once you get acclimated, get it figured out.
It took a long time for me to get a new body and lens, and it will be very fun to play with it and see what I can get
out
of it.
He's such a nerd. He's like gushing about it. He was like showing us all these like weird pictures that he took before this. All the like little minutia that this awesome camera does. He's a nerd, but like it's going to be good.
It's like going from a rotary phone to a smartphone.
Okay. Final thoughts. Okay.
That was
points. Okay. We need 3 points Saturday night.
Felipe Gutierrez is going to score a goal. Or three.
A goal or three for Felipe.
I say he starts.
You know, how much do we love this guy that only played like 5 games?
I love him so much.
You know, or what, 6 games, was it? 5 games?
Not enough.
5 games was enough to put the idea in my head that he's potentially the greatest player to ever put on the jersey. And he showed me that in 5 games. So after 10 games, I'll report back. Is that right, crazy? So no one's going to tell me I'm crazy for thinking that?
You're insane.
I have a quick question. Who's going to be
but
center
not just
forward
for that.
Come yeah. Saturday night?
What'd you say?
Who's going to be center forward come Saturday night?
Shallowy.
Little brother.
Which means Gerso or Johan on the wing?
Johan.
Married man. Gerso.
Thank you for the confirmation.
Okay. I know we've went through all this already, but we've all argued all year for Shallowy to get starts as a center forward. Not me as much, but we have all argued for it. He has not been the greatest at center forward the last couple games.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying that's what I want. I'm saying that's what I think.
Yeah, we talked about this in the podcast, so you weren't here.
Yeah, I didn't listen.
Well, you missed out.
It's okay.
Apparently nobody else did.
Hey, we had what, 200 and something? Come on.
That was the one that we posted like way late.
Though. Oh yeah.
It was like the day of the game. It was the morning of the game.
Yeah, exactly. It was the day before.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. I think it was Saturday.
Because there was a technical issue.
Or it was Friday night that it was supposed to. I don't know.
I put it up that night. But anyway.
Oh yes, but I didn't know about it and it wasn't on our
blue test.
Yeah. So no one heard it until Saturday.
So anyway, I'm just going to take it that nobody listened because I wasn't on.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Go with that?
Yeah, because I'm really popular. Yeah.
Oh!
It's still warm.
Oh my.
He's not lying.
Okay.
Well, exciting week for soccer in Kansas City. Get out there tomorrow.
Do go support. They are the best players in the world. And the level of ability and dedication, I love it.
And because we won't get a World Cup game if you don't go to it. Okay, until next week, go Sporting.
Go Sporting.
Anything to shake this mood.